Let's go to Jude. Let's start in verse. Just bring us up to date. Let's start at verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's pretty much emphasis on ungodly. And ungodly is it's lascivious. And it fundamentally means the speech is not originating from God. It's still of the senses. And that's that's what's considered ungodly, that you make judgments according to your senses as opposed to waiting on God.
That fulfills the first thing Jesus said to his disciples. If you be my disciple, deny yourself.
You're my what?
If you be my disciple, deny yourself.
Yeah, like, abandon yourself completely. Let's go on a side trip here. Go to Philippians 2. Start in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not something to be grass or robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him above, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence alone only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That fear and trembling never stops, because it always recognizes that you haven't arrived. Does that communicate?
Yeah.
Does everybody understand that? You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah, ultimately, you're it. Ultimately, you're it. I mean, you go through life, you've got our brethren, our fellowship, this, that, that. But essentially, if it's not about you, absolutely personal, then you can fake your Christianity.
But think it. What does it? What does it mean to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling? Anybody?
It has to do with emptying self, abandoning thoughts, not listening to your mind.
Yeah, I mean, the fear, at least in my own experience, the fear was that continually my mind was trying to bring itself back into the picture. And the moment I left fear, then I let the mind take over again. And that's the mind's job. It's mind-blowing to think about. To think about that whatsoever your mind says can never be correct. Whenever and however you're leaning on your own arm of understanding, you've left the mystery. And so that's this idea of working out your own salvation in fear and trembling is to recognize that your mind is always the deceiver. There is nothing that your mind can do or offer to you that has any value to God. I mean, this is as big as it gets. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling.
Doesn't part of that have to do with examining yourself, see if Christ be in you?
Do what?
Examine yourself to see if Christ be in you as a part of this fear and trembling. If you examine yourself and you cannot find that that's true in you, then that would be pretty...
Well, even examining yourself would be... With what vehicle are you using to examine yourself?
Use your mind.
Huh?
Use your mind.
Right. It can never, it will always deceive you.
So then, how do you come to the conclusion that Christ is in you?
By abandoning everything else. If he's not there, you die.
Isn't the same vehicle used to abandon yourself as it is to examine yourself?
I didn't understand that.
You use your mind to abandon.
You abandon the minute you remember that the mind is evil above all things. That's when repentance happens. But if you use your mind with impunity, then there is no fear. You are not working out your salvation in fear and trembling. You're trying to put your mind, or saying that your mind is now fixed, or now it's okay. I'm not going to say any names here, but there's a tendency among some who always need to be right. Does anybody know who I'm talking about?
Can't imagine. No idea.
Right. Especially in a marriage. You need to be right. Some still think they're right, but they don't say anything because they don't want to get in an argument. But the mind is still thinking it's right.
There's something about this thread of conversation, because depending on what standard you're looking through, often the mind is correct in what it assumes. That's in the world arena. So digesting this thought that the mind is always wrong, it doesn't add up, because often you're correct in what you're thinking.
When does that happen?
Well, have you said anything true this morning?
But hopefully I haven't used my mind.
Well, hopefully. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't.
Well, that's why you work out your own salvation in fear and trembling.
My point is, we're judged by a different standard in the kingdom of God than we are in the kingdom of this world, of where we are trying to be right and correct in the things we do. But you come to the point where that's not where your life is. Your life is in another realm that has nothing to do with the kingdom of this world. And that's where mind, you can't use the same standard in both kingdoms. And that's what Christians try to do. They try and combine the kingdoms, come up with the right anything, even doctrine, and then think they're right and satisfy the flesh.
Let's go to Romans 8. Starting in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then that they that are in the flesh do not please God. Now, I mean, if you're using your mind, you're automatically, it's the opposite of faith. There isn't any middle ground. Does that communicate? Does anybody believe it? This is why we must work out our own salvation in fear. You never leave fear. That's why you let this mind that was in Christ be also in you. And that mind in Christ was that total emptying.
Can we go back to Philippians 2? The first four verses have some indication that that's what the mind of Christ is about. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Let not every man look on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Then it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So the mind of Christ is one that is never inward. It's not about self, it's about others.
Yeah, but the definition then is in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Again, and that's what that no reputation is, as Pete said, is the word kino. And it means empty to the point of a vacuum, not used at all.
And in that state of emptiness, these other issues is what happens.
Right. And so if it doesn't happen, you know there has to be repentance. And so the repentance is where you work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Most of us go through the day using our mind freely. Seems like the right thing to do. But it's not faith. Now, there's another scripture that's companion to this. Excuse me, let's go to Hebrews 4. It's this, remember the Hebrews 3 and 4 are they're saying that the same thing that happened to Israel, the same tendency to we have to read it. We have to read. Let's start in verse 7 of Hebrews 3. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation or in the wilderness. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, that there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved? 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and to they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For as Jesus, if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. Now that's a contradiction in terms to our mind. Let us labor to enter the rest. How do you labor to enter the rest? There's only one way. If you ever see your mind bringing itself into any situation in your life, but you labor by repenting. There's repentance and you return to the rest. But if you continually use your mind and say, well, I've got the mind of Christ, then you have been deceived as they that were in the wilderness. The evidence that Christ is in you is not that you run around and do tricks. The evidence that Christ is in you is that you abandon yourself in completeness. You take no thought for anything. And that's almost impossible to think about even. But that's what it means to labor to enter into rest. If there is any time in your life that you are using your mind, that you're still a friend of the world, you're still in the world, then you have to labor to enter the rest. And the labor to enter the rest is repentance. This is the dividing line. The same gospel was preached unto them as it is unto us. But they did not enter in because of unbelief, just as we don't enter in because of unbelief. Because we still lean on our own arm of understanding instead of faith. Does that communicate at all?
Yeah. Why were they not able to mix the gospel with faith? There was something missing.
Same reason we don't. It's the same.
We do, don't we?
What?
We mix it with faith.
Not if you're using your mind, you don't.
Well, then what's the answer to the question? Do you or don't you?
Do what?
Can you not say that you've entered in?
Well, you can only enter in if you've entered in. You can't say that you've entered in if you haven't entered in.
But can't you say you believe?
Well, the evidence of you believing is that you've abandoned yourself, taking no thought for anything. Living by faith alone, that's the hardest thing to even think about doing. That's why faith, living by faith, is the scariest thing on the face of the earth. That's why they didn't enter in, because of unbelief. The only two that entered in were Joshua and Caleb. Out of who knows how many, untold.
So cannot we say that because of Christ we have entered in? Not of our own selves, but of Him and His work and what was finished and the recognition and the...
Only if it's faith. Only if it's faith. If without faith, it means nothing. You can say those things all day, but it means nothing if you're not living it.
Yeah, there's a great danger in that, of thinking you've arrived.
Well, that's why it said, that's what we started out with, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. But if you have no fear, if there's no trembling, then you can easily say, well, now my mind is sanctified. Your mind is never sanctified. Your mind is evil above all things. It's there to test, to put to the test, in the same way the evil one did with Christ. Same thing happens in us. We are the same thing. Christ is conceived in us. When He is conceived, you must leave. Well, he's more than conceived. The fullness of Christ is within us. They didn't enter in because of unbelief. We don't enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief is the mixing of the mind with faith that can't happen.
I think some of this has to do with the fact that we're stuck in time. And I'll explain. If you want to say whatever you want to say, it's not about right now. It's about the next 5 minutes or the next day or the next whatever. Who do you say it to? That's also time dependent. If I say that to someone else, what was the point? So it's just like you can't decide that I've arrived. I've got this day done, you know, tomorrow and again or something like that. It's always for the moment that you're in.
It's always the eternal.
Say where you are.
It's the eternal now. Yeah, always.
So you can never. It can never be about I've arrived, as if now I can take it easy for the next hour. That's, I think, part of the fear thing, is that you can never be there. You can only be where I am right this second.
And that's that second, that eternal second of faith, then becomes your life. That's why, man, you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is thing, whatever you've relied on. You can't serve God in mammon.
Robert Descraker Flores.
I mean,
Robert Descraker Flores.
We just read it, but again, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. There's no escaping that. It's the knife of faith, and it becomes the only standard. Abandonment, taking no thought.
Everything in our life tells us a different thing. You go to school, you get a bachelor's degree. You got a bachelor's. It's never going to go away. You know, you go to school, you take a test, you pass the test, you're good until the next test. But faith isn't like that. Faith is only for right now. It's never about, I've gotten it, I've arrived, I get the next 5 minutes off.
That's why you work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Because if you don't recognize what you've just said, then you put the label of Christ on that which is unlabelable. You bring Christ into time in which he's out of time.
So you are saying faith is only in the present tense. Is that what you're saying?
It's only, well, faith is more, many more things than we can say, but one of the things is faith is always now. But if the next minute or the next hour you use your mind, then it's you hopefully, in fear and trembling, you'll repent. This isn't something that can overlay your life. This is your death completely. You're not partially dead. You're either all dead or all alive. There's no in between. Your mind is dead and buried. That's why to be carnally minded is death.
Even the fear thing makes more sense. Probably I'm stupid.
What?
I said, even the fear thing makes more sense. And I said, probably I'm stupid because I'm not really afraid of God. I'm afraid I'll forget that I need to repent.
Well, that's a whole bunch of fear. It's fear of God because it's...
Like I said, I'm probably stupid, but being afraid of, that I'll forget to repent, I can feel better than the other thing.
Again, you labor to enter the rest. The laboring to enter the rest is repenting if you're not. I mean, it's not. There's never a place, as somebody said earlier, where you've arrived. If you ever think you've arrived, you know you haven't. This is what faith is. This is what everything we've studied for all these years is about. Consider these things and work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Take a big guy.